This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan and Ibrahim Sani right here on The Morning Run, 7:46 right now. And coming up on The Breakfast Grill, Julian will be speaking to Anthony Lee. He is the chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, or PIAM. Let's just spell it out.
Yeah, I suppose that's how I pronounce it.
Yeah, it's the National Trade Association for all licensed insurance and reinsurance companies for general insurance in Malaysia. And they're trying to be the singular voice for this industry, trying to create a favourable business environment. And I guess it's very timely to get them on because now Bank Negara wants to try to remove general insurance pricing regulation. So hopefully general insurance is going to be cheaper, especially for low-risk buyers.
Yeah, I guess one issue, of course, is cost of insurance. But the other is whether people feel that this is the way to go in terms of protecting what they own, or securing themselves in an uncertain future, or after they stop working and, into retirement. All these are considerations. Will insurance policies resolve those questions?
But also, I think, we speak a lot about the banking sector being ripe for disruption with fintech, right? So I think the general insurance industry is also ripe for disruption. And we'll ask more about this to Anthony Lee, chairman of PIAM, the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, on The Breakfast Grill. But in other business news, an exclusive by The Edge The Edge Weekly, this week's issue, Vivacom International may see the early retirement of its CEO, Dato' Sri Dr. Yeo Siong Mok. Now, very interesting because Dr. Yeo is said to be the point man who dealt with the CRC contract for Vivacom, which is one of the key contracts that they have, right?
Yep, so CRC is the China Railway Construction Group. When I had that breakfast grill with Vivacom, I was asking Yeo Siong Mok, the executive director of Vivacom, whether or not there will be a management risk, because a 30-year construction veteran is the key enabler behind Vivacom's move. And right now, my question was rather academic then, is now becoming a reality, because if Dato' Sri Yeo Siong Mok leaves the group, does it mean that Vivacom is also going to, collapse?
So any word on a succession plan being put in place? Because apparently, according to the article on The Edge, that Dr. Yeo is very, very adamant about leaving. I mean, it's not just stating an intention. He really wants to go.
Yeah, in fact, the insider has, issued a statement. It's not just a matter of how and when. It's just a matter of time. So I guess it's still when.
Okay, but yeah. The question is, are the institutions like this or company like this so fragile that if, one of its leading architects leaves, that it collapses? I mean, is that a real possibility?
Well, it has a lot to do with sentiment, right? So shareholder sentiment, investor sentiment into it. The man, the key man driving this project is suddenly up and leaving. Does that not signal something bigger, a bigger problem?
I mean, there might be personal reasons. I mean, has he given reasons as to why he's leaving? And it has it to do with the company's, finances, its integrity.
Yeah.
Its,
so to answer your question, Sharad, this boils down to concentration risk, because we have personalities in companies all the time. For instance, Nazir Razak, he's a personality inside CIMB. Why is it that him moving on, becoming a chairman, doesn't affect CIMB that much? It's because of that concentration risk. CIMB has millions upon millions of customers. However, for Vivacom, they have a concentration risk and they're highly dependent on China Railway Construction Corporation. Their order book is concentrated about half by CRCC. So the question is, who has been negotiating with CRCC on behalf of Vivacom? It's actually Dato' Sri Yeo. So if your lead negotiator is now, leaving the company, the biggest question now is, how are you going to secure the other half of that order book? That is the core question. So this is the concentration risk that I'm talking about. And this is the management risk that I raised in my grill with Vivacom a few months ago.
Yeah, for me, it reminds me of the Tan Sri Liu Kee Sin and SB Satya and yeah. the eco world scenario. I mean, you know, he was seen as the person who drove this forward. And then if he leaves, then who's going to take up that mantle, right? Will they be able to achieve the same levels that they achieved under Tan Sri Leo?
Yeah.
For me, that was around the same kind of example.
It's important to note that Vivocom has gone through several reincarnations. Previously, they were known as Instacom. They were a telecommunications tower builder. Before that, they were known as iPower. They became IBM Corporation's partner. So, you know, if there is a silver lining to this story, is that Vivocom is able to reinvent themselves over and over again. But because of the fact that they have a lead negotiator now leaving the corporation, again, this brings into question whether or not they can reinvent themselves effectively going forward.
7:52 right now. In another Edge Weekly exclusive, YTL Power will be launching on June 30th. Yes, new 4G LTE network for mobile devices. So what this means is that now Yes will finally be a full-fledged telco with a network for smartphones.
Now, this is huge for Yes and YTL because previously they are rolling out on this 4G WiMAX network and they've been using this for the past 6 years. So for them to roll out a mobile network on LTE, this is huge for them. Now, it's not all good for them because they have a spectrum problem here. They are licensed for what they call it a TDD or a time a duplex division instead of an FDD. So most mobile phones, including iPhones, run on FDD, not TDD. So they're rolling out an LTE program that not many phones have. Or you know that means they have to bring their own devices. They're going to sell their own phones in order for people to enjoy that LTE program.
It's a whole lot of alphabet soup, but at the end of the day, it just means that now they're kind of they're kind of a serious player in the 4G LTE market, right? According to the article in The Edge, they called the venture into WiMAX as a costly technological misstep, and now they're kind of repositioned themselves into the right track again. But what is interesting is that, boy, this is a crowded market. We've got three incumbents, Maxis, Digi, and Celcom. And then you've got U-Mobile chasing for a piece of the pie as well. And there's also talk that there's going to be a new entrant in the market, Weebi, by TM and P1 Networks. And now Yes. So essentially, we're talking about three big players and three smaller players. Don't you think that, you know, this is far too crowded a space for the Malaysian pie?
But would it be good for consumers? I mean, to the extent the greater the competition is, even if it's a crowded market and they can, offer the Malaysian consumers something extra to kind of cross over, including, Brian is correct, they'll have to sell them a phone that nobody else has, Would that be something of benefit to Ubuntu consumers?
I definitely think that consumers will benefit from this because with so many players in the market, the competition is going to be steep. And with competition, there might be a price war. Prices will drop, consumers will benefit. But I think that's a short-term play because at the end of the day, after competition, what happens, right? Everyone needs to make money in this business. And I remember speaking to Sigve Brekke of the Telenor Group, and they own a percentage of Digi.com. And I asked him, look, there's so many players now. Is there space in the Malaysian market? Is the pie big enough? And this is what he had to say.
Typically, it's very, very hard to make money if you are the fourth player. And if I look through the countries where we are operating, even being number three is very, very hard. If you look a little bit into the future, I think you will see this ending up in consolidation, such that there will be more or less three dominant players in this type of markets. So in the end of the day, I think you will see most markets being consolidated down to around three players.
Okay, so just to summarize, three big players. So there'll be consolidation in a market that's crowded with, whittled down to three big players.
I mean, this question can't be, or these concerns or constraints can't be a mystery to YTL. They must have a reason why they believe it's worthwhile getting into this game.
Yeah, so that mystery that you speak of is on the mobile penetration rate in Malaysia. Malaysia has about 1.3, 1.4 mobile penetration rate. That means for every maybe three people, you're going to get four mobile phones. Now, if you add zero behind it, that's the real number. That's 30 million Malaysians and there's 40 million subscribers. So there is room for growth. However, Melissa's discussion with Sigve Brekke was talking about efficiency and operability of these companies, because at the end of the day, if it's not profitable, why do
we? Yeah. The temptation for this market is too big to resist, to sit out, right? So you just go in and you try it. And perhaps you might even steal market share from the incumbents. Who knows? It's not a done deal, right? Just because you're one of the big three players doesn't mean you're always going to be one of the big three players. Okay, in other news, KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, or KLM, they're viewing Malaysia as an important transit hub for them in Southeast Asia. So, of course, the other main hub for KLM is at Amsterdam, but they think Malaysia is well positioned to be the hub for Southeast Asia.
So they've just boosted a few flights from Europe to Malaysia. And they're also trying to reinvent their codeshare program with Malaysia Airlines, because Malaysia Airlines does have a strong presence in the Southeast Asia region. Now, there is also this big talk of the Brexit and how this affects European travel into Malaysia, because Europe now has to renegotiate their visa requirements with the Brits and vice versa. Does it mean that a lot of visa requirement talks must also happen between Europeans and Malaysia? Because if it doesn't, that means that we're going to see a lot more travellers coming from Europe into Malaysia.
Okay, also, there were nearly 500 Tamantun Dr. Ismail TCDI residents gathered at the Bukit Kiara Rimba Park yesterday to object to a new project which they say will cause overdevelopment of their neighbourhood. So residents ranging from the elderly to toddlers, they all gathered from 11 a.m. and they were holding signs to say, "Save Taman Rimba Kiara, say no to development."
So they are making a big fuss towards DBKL because they say that this area has been slated for green lung purposes. But I think a lot of focus has to be brought on to the developers. We have to understand who the developers are. And this includes Tan Sri Desmond Lim's associated company of the Pavilion Group, called Melton Group, as well as Global Oriental Berhad. Now, they want to rename this place Pavilion Bukit Damansara. MRCB is also reported to be scouting the land, but right now they have since dropped their interest. But what is of these companies, and whether or not DBKL needs the approval of the residents to get these companies, you know, building the property developers on that site?
But if there's a green lung, and if it's a designated green lung, then there's cause for concern, because it, you know, removing green lungs, removing parks in favor of development means, you know, a lower quality of livability in many of these areas in the country. And I think the proper authorities, the competent authorities, need to protect public interest, you know, and not just think about the bottom line, you know.
Okay, so how do you view this? Okay, parts of the Taman Kiara has been gazetted as a forest reserve or a green lung. There are some parts of it, but there are other parts of it that are still open, which you can develop on. But what happens if you develop on that? Does that not encroach on the green lung? So I think it's a good question to ask authorities whether or not to designate the whole area as a green lung.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.